Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, the Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. And, looking out the window here, I was coming in. It was kind of nice to see little bits of sunshine poking through. It's like the sun is trying to shine. And temperature coming up a little bit above freezing. And it was just kind of nice to see little glimpses of sun out there. It's been so cloudy lately, overcast. But, of course, this is the day the Lord has made. And of course, as the Bible says, we should be glad and rejoice in it, because this is another day to serve God and another year to serve God. And certainly Happy New Year to everybody that's out there. I hope you had a safe time over the New Year's. And it's just... Yeah, you look at all the things happening around the world. I just want to thank God that we didn't have any really serious attacks take place in New York or any of the other major venues where they were having New Year's celebrations. There was a number of rumors going around before New Year's of potential attacks and things like that. And so I know a lot of people have been praying. And God is still watching over us. But when we look at what's happening in the world around us, it's hard to believe that we're going to have His protective hand over us that much, especially when you look at, like, here in Ohio, our governor back at it again with his press conference this morning, again defending his veto of the SAFE Act, House Bill 68, that protects adolescents from sexual mutilation, and also protect women's sports here in Ohio, and doubling down on his veto. And of course, talking about how he's going to, or has issued, an executive order today and ban the surgical procedures. But what really needs to be banned is the puberty blockers. That's the hormone treatment, for the boys. That's chemical castration, is what it is. It's a way of sterilizing and trying to hinder the body's normal development during the course of puberty. It's a tragedy and a travesty that we are allowing this abuse. And it's all you can call it, is abuse, to be perpetrated upon children in the state of Ohio. And still, we see what's happening down in Columbus. Legislature is planning on meeting on Wednesday. I believe that's the 10th of January. The House is going to be meeting to overturn the governor's veto of House Bill 68. And so do pray for that. If you haven't contacted your representative yet, please do so and urge them to vote to repeal the governor's veto. And while you're at it, certainly contact your state senator and ask them, because after the House votes, it has to move over to the Senate. And so we need the Senate also to vote to repeal the governor's veto. And so do pray for that. And hopefully that will be taken care of on Wednesday the 10th. And then 90 days after that, it will take effect and begin protecting children across the state of Ohio. I've been on a couple of programs and on our program talking about either ignorance or just outright willing to lie because he has to know what's going on. After seeing the events of the last week or so, I'm convinced the governor knows exactly what he's doing and knows exactly what is going on and knows that the lie that he's perpetuating, that if you don't have these things in place, that you are, the transgender procedures and things, if you don't do that, kids are going to commit suicide. The governor knows. He's talked to people. He knows that what he's saying is a lie when he says we have to, he had to veto House Bill 68 in order to protect the children. Because he knows that children who are pushed into the transgendered pipeline are 19 times more likely to commit suicide than children who are not. And so we need to pray for our state, for our governor, for our House, for our Senate, and pray that this bill is overturned, or I'm sorry, that the veto of House Bill 68 is overturned. Do pray about that. Contact your state representative, your state senator, if you haven't already. And if you have already, contact them again about doing this. And, you know, more and more information is coming out on the corruption that we are seeing in the governor's office. And so we need to be very careful about that in terms of how we pray, and we got primaries coming up in March, and that's important. You know, Proverbs 17:23 says, "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." DeWine took $40,300 from Ohio hospitals that perform child sex change operations and procedures before deciding to veto the bill that would prevent them. So this is what we're up against. And spiritual wickedness, the Bible says in Ephesians, in high places. And Daily Wire posted something here just recently that these hospitals, these children's hospitals that gave $40,300 to DeWine's campaign funds and various things, which prompted him to veto House Bill 68. These hospitals, the Daily Wire has released information showing training videos that show that Ohio's top children's hospitals, the ones that paid DeWine off, the one that he took money from to pervert the ways of justice, that when he should have been protecting our children by signing the SAFE Act, instead he vetoed it. And I think it's because of the money he took, partly. But the Daily Wire has shown training videos of these hospitals telling their doctors how to get around the objections of parents and even to essentially lie to them about the dangers and all that. So I'll be posting that on some of my social media here in a bit as well. But you can go online, probably. It's on Twitter, or what used to be called Twitter, now called X. And you can see that Daily Wire News has the posting, Ohio's top children's hospital coaches doctors to circumvent parents wary of trans treatments, training videos show. And they've got the goods on them there. So check that out and pray for children here in the state of Ohio. Well, you're listening, as I said, to Live with Pastor Al. Check us out online, of course, at our website. That's livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Sunday night programs, both our 10 o'clock and our 11 o'clock hour on Sunday nights. All of that is at livewithpastoral.com. And that also links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we'll have more information on that at the end of the program. But we meet in a commercial strip at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're in Suite 200. Don't look for a building with a steeple. Look for our door with our name on it. And we are right sort of at the corner of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road. That's near where 271 and 77 cross in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we have a Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. It runs from 7 to 9. If you not doing anything tonight and want to join us, you can come out. We'd love to have you visit with us, an informal Bible study where you bring the questions and the topics, and we talk about everything from, you know, theological questions to what's happening in the world and making sense of it in light of the scriptures. And then, of course, we have every Sunday our morning service at 11 o'clock, where I am currently preaching through the book of, or the Gospel of John. And then Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, I am preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so we'd love to have you come out and visit. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Haven't done that yet, and I wanted to get back to something that I wanted to do and have been trying to do for some time, and we've got parts of it out, but talking about the millennial kingdom. We finally arrived at the millennial kingdom in our course of things to come here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. We do pray that the legislature, the state house, and the state senate would be successful on Wednesday in overturning the governor's veto of House Bill 68, the SAFE Act. And we do pray that you would bring out the information, reveal to your people who these people are that are conspiring against us here in our state and who are putting children in danger. And we just pray that you would just help us as Christians to be aware, to be wise, and to know what we should do and how we should pray more effectively for those that are in authority, as the Bible tells us, that we could live quiet and peaceable lives. Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity, the freedom that we still have. Continue to bless and watch over us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I had started some weeks ago, and a lot of interruptions and a lot of going back and reviewing and everything because of getting taken away from it, but I had fully planned last week before the governor's veto of the SAFE Act, to which we did a special program with Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, last week talking about that, and you can find that online. And I wanted to finish up basically last year, the 2023, by getting into the millennial kingdom and talking about the millennial kingdom, and then starting 2024 with the new heaven and the new earth and all the things that are in the future yet, and some things there that get confused one with another, and also some things that are misunderstood about them. And so we're going to touch on some of those things here today. We had been talking about future events going from the catching away of the believers, which we call the rapture, where the born-again believers in Christ are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Paul talks about it extensively in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the last half of that and the last half of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there's other references, of course, scattered throughout the Bible talking about it. And Titus 2:13, for instance, where it's called the blessed hope. And we saw from there that after the believers are caught up out of the way, the mystery of iniquity that Paul mentions in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will now have free course to be able to work and do what the devil intends, which is bringing forward a world leader that's called in the Bible by various names, the Antichrist, the Beast, the little horn, and a number of other things, and the man of sin, the son of perdition. Those are some of the names that are given to him, and he will ascend. You know, would be the right terminology to the world scene, and he will become a global leader, and he will become the head of a global government that will arise on the earth during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a seven-year period. It's the last 7 years of Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 9 of his 70 weeks of years that he has a vision about. And there's a parenthesis between the 69th week and the 70th week, and this will be the 70th week. 69 weeks have taken place already, and so this will be the 70th week, and that will be a time of judgment on the Jewish people who have rejected their Messiah, and also on the Gentiles that have rejected Christ. And during that time, a number of things will take place. That we've talked about some of the wars and different things, and we didn't go into detail on all the different things that take place. Midpoint, of course, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God, and he will sit himself on in the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt temple, the third temple in Jerusalem, which will be rebuilt by this time, and he'll cause the sacrifices and oblations that have been restarted to cease. And then the last half of the tribulation period, we have instituted the mark of the beast, the 666 number, and on the forehead or on the back of the right hand, and not something that you would just get accidentally, but it would be an act of worship, worshiping the Antichrist as God. He'll claim to be God, and the false prophet will be on the scene encouraging people and leading people, and if you do not do that, the penalty will be death. So we see these things coming, but then it'll culminate in the end of the tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, and the Antichrist and his forces will be turned against the Jewish remnant and trying to destroy them at that time. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that Jesus will descend from heaven with the armies of heaven. That would be the born-again believers that have been caught up out of the world, plus the saints, probably the Old Testament, and angels and things of that nature. And we will return with Christ, and he will defeat the Antichrist. The Antichrist at that time, of course, will turn his attention and try to fight against Jesus. Jesus defeats him, and you can see that in Revelation chapter 19, as well as Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. And then, of course, also that's the time when the Jewish people will realize that Jesus is the Messiah, and that their forefathers were wrong to have rejected him, and that will be the fulfillment of Romans chapter 11 that talks about all Israel shall be saved. And again, you can see some of that taking place. I think it's in Zechariah 12 or 13. And but the course, the cost to the Jewish people, two-thirds of them will perish. Two-thirds of the Jewish people who are alive at the beginning of the tribulation will perish by the end of the tribulation, but the third that's left will be converted. And it doesn't mean that some of the others won't be converted before they perish. It's just that that's what we'll see at the end of the tribulation. And then Jesus arrives, and this brings us down to Revelation chapter, Revelation chapter 19, and let's start right here where it says in verse 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." And this is the demise of the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. And then it says in verse 21, "The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." And then we go into chapter 20, where it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Now, I've had people call, one individual in particular called more than once and said, "How do we know it's 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom?" And millennial means 1,000 in Latin. It means 1,000. And they said, "How do you know it's going to be 1,000 years? Doesn't that just mean just a number of years, just a long time?" And I said, "Well, it's pretty clear that it's 1,000 years. And I said, "Well, where does it say that?" And I said, "Well, Revelation chapter 20. You go through the first six verses there, and first seven verses, actually, and the term 1,000 years, a definite number, 1,000 years, is repeated over and over. You see it in, you see it in verse number 2. You see it in verse number 3. You see it in verse number 4. You see it in verse number 5. You see it in verse number 6. You see it in verse number 7. You know, it would seem that God meant exactly what he said, 1,000 years. This is the millennial reign of Christ. And this is an interesting time. I was talking with somebody and I said, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around eternity. The idea of a time that never ends, that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around. But I can wrap my mind around 1,000 years. You know, I can look at that. I can say, well, you know, it's 2024. 1,000 years ago, it was 1,024. And we can see history. We can see how things have changed. And so 1,000 years is something that we can wrap our mind around. And the fact of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are going to be here on the earth during that 1,000 year. We're going to return with Christ from heaven there at the Battle of Armageddon. And we are going to be with him, and this is where we are going to serve in his government over the world during that time. In Revelation chapter 1, where it talks about this, it says in verse, starting in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, that means the first in the resurrection there, and the Prince of Kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are going to serve as kings and priests. Now, that's a part of the Lord's government. That's going to be a theocracy, obviously, because Jesus is going to be at the head of it. Christocracy, I guess we could call it. He will serve as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the Antichrist tries to replicate that during the tribulation, and he serves as a global leader. They try to divide the world up into 10 regions. It's interesting that numbers of secular globalist groups that reject the Bible all want to divide the world up into 10 governing regions, and the Bible talks about the Antichrist ruling over 10 kingdoms, and so he's trying to copy Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he'll have trouble with that and holding everything together. That's a whole other area. But Jesus, when he comes back, he will serve as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the world will be divided up into these regions, and there's nations, and that'll be here on the earth during that time. The Jewish nation is one of them. And so we will serve in the Lord's global government in some form or capacity. When it talks about kings, we're talking about civil rule there. And when it talks about priests, we're talking about religious, spiritual matters. And so we will be helping oversee the government. Now, government is a big thing. And, you know, when you go to the post office and you buy some stamps, you're dealing with an employee of the government, a part of the government. That's a government official. When you're going down the highway, if you're speeding and you get pulled over and a police officer pulls you over, give you a ticket, you're dealing with a member of the government. And so not everybody's going to be a king or a governor or, you know, some high power position like that, but a lot of us will have a part in the governmental structure of the Lord Jesus Christ's millennial reign. And we will reign with him during that 1,000 years, 4,000 years, while the devil is bound in the bottomless pit. Now, there's another group that's going to get there. It's going to come into the tribulation period that I need to mention, and that is the people who survive the tribulation. As I said before, 2/3 of the Jewish people who are alive at the beginning of the tribulation will die before the end of the tribulation. If we use that as an index to indicate how many of the total world population would die, let's just assume that it was basically the same. The world population now is over 8 billion. Let's say that 2 million are gone, so there's 6 billion at the beginning of the tribulation. That would mean that 4 billion people would die, leaving 2 billion people at the end. And of those that are saved, they are going, those who come to Christ during the tribulation, they will go bodily into the millennial reign of Christ. They will be like we are today as believers that still have a sin nature. But you and I will be with a part of the Lord's government in a new body without a sin nature. I am looking forward to that. I cannot imagine living hundreds of years dealing with my own sin nature. I am looking forward to that. I hope you are too. Well, we're out of time. We'll pick this up, Lord willing, next week. But trust Christ. I hope you'll be a part of that number as well. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.